You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Pastor Ken Klaus on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, God's Authority. Now here is Pastor Klaus.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Those words describing the resurrection of the Savior from Joseph of Arimathea's empty tomb tell all the world that the earth has a new authority. The Savior's conquest of death, devil, and sin shall to all who will hear say to everyone who will listen that Jesus is victorious over our mortal enemies. Freed from their stranglehold, those who believe in the Messiah have a new hope, a new tomorrow, a new authority as they live their lives here in hope of an eternal tomorrow. Today on this broadcast, I'm going to ask, and hopefully you're going to answer, a very simple question. Who is the authority in your life? Now understand, I'm not asking who has the power in your life. There's a big difference between power and authority. Let me explain. As a pastor, I drive a very sensible and a very dependable Chevy. But when a friend offered me a ride in his souped-up Corvette, I jumped at the opportunity. That machine was beautiful to look at, impressive to sit in. Riding a few inches off the ground, my friend put that contraption through its paces. In first gear, I was thrown back into the seat. In second gear, it felt like the G-force was stretching my face just like that of the astronauts during a blastoff. In third gear, we blew by an 18-wheeler like he was standing still. It was fantastic. And then doing about 1,000 million miles an hour, I might be exaggerating a little there, we came up on a parked police vehicle. The bet slowed down. The 18-wheeler slowed down. Everybody slowed down, and that's the point. That vet had power. That 18-wheeler with a full load and a big diesel engine had power. But that parked police car, it had authority. So we ask a very simple question. Who has the authority in your life? Your boss may have power, but who has the authority? Who is the person? What is the thing that makes you do what you do? Say what you say. Think what you think. Who is the authority in your life? Almost 2,000 years ago, right after Jesus began his ministry, he spoke at the synagogue in Capernaum. Mark, who recorded that visit, doesn't give record or reveal a single word that Jesus preached. What he does share is that the people, after it was all over, walked out, turned to each other, and said, "Whoa, there's a man that preaches with authority. He's not at all like those teachers of the law." They understood the difference between power and authority. The teachers of the law, with all their book learning, had power. They had the power of hundreds of years of tradition. They knew the rules. You name the subject, they could roll out a baker's dozen of rules that dealt with the situation. They had power. But they were missing something. They were missing something that Jesus had: authority. And because Jesus spoke as one with authority, people listened. They couldn't stop listening, even if they wanted to. Jesus himself made sense. He was someone you could invest some time in. You might be able to invest your future in him. That's because, in less than a day, they knew here was a man who had authority. It would take some time, of course, before any of them realized that they were only half right when they described Jesus as a man of authority. This was not just a man. No mere man could do the things Jesus did. Jesus had a special, unique, a one-of-a-kind authority. That's because Jesus was and is the Son of God. Now, I wouldn't have you take my word for such a claim, but you can listen to Matthew. He was there. He knew the Savior personally. When Jesus was tempted by Satan to sin, the challenge was laid down. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Later, the devil challenges, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the temple and give the people a miracle so they will believe. You only need to read the passages to see that Jesus resisted those temptations just as he avoided every other stumbling block sin and Satan set before him. He did what no regular human being could do. He led a perfect life. The book of Hebrews records, Jesus has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Matthew continues, when Jesus is confronted by a man possessed by demons, it is the demons, not Jesus, who are afraid. The Christ's authority is seen as those demons are cast out and the man is cleansed, restored, and returned to his family, healthy and whole. When the disciples are afraid because a storm is tossing them about on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus comes to them walking on the water. After Peter has been rescued and the storm is abated, the disciples in wonder realize Jesus is a person of authority. They confess to each other, truly, he is the Son of God. In Matthew, the disciple Peter admits Jesus is a person of authority when he clearly confesses Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. When the high priest put the Savior on trial, the accusation that seals the Savior's fate is his admission that he is the Son of God. As he shed his life's blood so that believers might live forever, the crowd mocks him for his claim of holding divine sonship. And although he had seen countless men die, the cynical centurion of the crucifixion confesses, truly, this man was the Son of God. Now, what I have just shared comes from only one of the Gospels. The other writers of the Good News record similar yet separate stories. Along with being able to defeat the devil, Jesus shows he has authority over sea and storm. He gives eyewitness evidence that he has authority over sickness. On Easter Sunday, wondrous news, as the risen Christ departs the empty tomb, all who look come away convinced that even death must bow before Jesus' authority. Little wonder the people who first heard him speak in that Capernaum service that day regarded him as someone special, someone with power and authority. Jesus is someone whose authority can make a difference in this world. But the question today is not, who was the authority in Capernaum 2,000 years ago, or who had the authority on the Sea of Galilee when a storm arose? We are asking, who is the authority in your life? It is an important question. If you have heard of him, if you have looked at him, I mean really looked at what he has done to save you, then I am convinced that you too are ready to say, Jesus is the authority in my life, for Jesus is the Son of God, my Savior from sin, my Lord who has given his life for my life. In this simple statement, you are joining millions of others who know in the halls of history there is no one else who has authority such as his. Assured of this unmatched authority, the disciples could proudly proclaim, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. But it is possible that there are other authorities in your life. You may recognize other authorities that have shoved the Savior to the side. Possibly, like Eve, the eye-pleasing pleasures of this world are your authority. Maybe, like King David, lust has lured you away from the Lord and become your authority. It is possible that you, like Ananias and Sapphira, are looking to advance your life by making shady business deals, or like Achan, find yourself caught up in a sin that is separating you from God's grace. It makes little difference what your authority is. If your authority is not Jesus Christ, it is a false authority. Yours is an influence which will rob you of joy in this world and the next. But when Jesus, by the Holy Spirit's power, rules your head and heart, when Jesus is the authority that is above anything and everything else, your life is changed immensely for the better. Let me tell you what I mean. And before I continue, I want you to know I have asked the principal involved for permission to share this story. It begins over 25 years ago. I was pastor of Bethesda Lutheran Church in Hot Springs, South Dakota. There I met a great many wonderful people, but among those who remain in my memory was a postman by the name of Rudy Krein and his wife, Arlene. They hailed from that town, went to school there, lived their lives there. They found themselves in love and were married, and as such things go, Arlene soon found herself pregnant. They gave thanks to the Lord for the gift of a new life that she was carrying. Their baby was born, Carolyn. That was what they named her. Carolyn was a beautiful baby. But Carolyn had spina bifida, a birth defect. The hospital staff immediately placed her into an oxygen tent. The oxygen was turned on too high. By the time the error was discovered, their beautiful girl was blind and deaf and retarded. The doctor said this young couple should go home and have another baby, put Carolyn into a home, let somebody else take care of her. After all, they reasoned, statistics say she will die before the age of 6. But Rudy and Arlene knew Jesus. He was the authority in their lives. They didn't think they could entrust their baby, God's baby, into the hands of someone else. So, with Jesus as their authority, and not knowing what they were getting into, they made a decision. They would go home. They would have another baby. But Carolyn was going to go home with them. If she was going to die by the age of 6, they would take care of her. She will know, they said to each other, a Christian home with a Christian mother and father. They would love her. They would try somehow to take care of her and tell her of Jesus. I said they didn't know what they were getting into. They soon found out. Carolyn was unable to feed herself. Throughout her life, she ate baby food. She never got control over bodily functions. She needed to be burped every 4 hours. Rudy and Arlene settled into a grueling daily cycle. They could not leave her alone for any length of time, so one went to early church, the other went to late. There were no vacations as a family. They cared for Carolyn full-time, 24/7. 3 other children came into their marriage, Tim, Jossie, and Pam. Rudy and Arlene cared for them as well. The children's home during those early years, during the crucial teenage time, was hardly normal. But the love they received, that was more than normal. Jesus was the authority at the Krein house. When times were tough, and there were such times, when it looked like they would lose their baby, for Carolyn always was their baby, they turned to Jesus, and he gave them the courage and ability to care that they needed. Jesus was the authority. Eventually, Rudy and Arlene found out that Carolyn wasn't deaf. As the years passed, she learned to talk. Only 3 words that I, a quarter of a century later, can remember. Da. That was Daddy. When Rudy came home from delivering mail, she said it, da. Ma was the other word. If memory serves, it was not used as often because Ma was always around. Oh yeah, there was a 3rd word Carolyn knew. That word was Jesus. Jesus. It was always said with a smile, Jesus. Both Arlene and Rudy sang and talked to Carolyn about Jesus. His love, always about his love. And even as Jesus was an authority in the life of Da and Ma, so he was for Carolyn. I don't pretend to know what went on in Carolyn's mind, but I know Jesus was there in her heart. He was there as the young couple took care of her. He was there for the 6 years that the doctors had predicted, there for the 7th, the 8th, the 12th, the 18th, the 20th, 27 years, burping their baby every few hours, changing her diapers, for 27 years. Never at church together, never on vacation together, never. But there was love there. I know. Because when a young pastor with his wife and small son came to town, there was enough love left over for Rudy and Arlene to become adopted grandparents for that pastor's child who had been born so far away from family. Carolyn, after 27 years, eventually left Da and Ma, and went home to Jesus. And there in heaven, Carolyn was healed and whole. That was how those who knew her thought of her. Running and learning and talking, healed and whole. All because Jesus had been her authority. After all they had been through, Rudy and Arlene decided to travel. Rudy took an early retirement, but before they left, he had a physical. And before he was 60 years old, Rudy Krein was told he had Alzheimer's. He died only a few years after his little girl, and he too went home to Jesus. And he saw his little girl, healthy and healed and whole. I tell you this story not to make Rudy and Arlene special. They wouldn't let me say it that way back then. Arlene listening this morning in Hot Springs would not have it that way now. Too many times, both husband and wife said, God gave her to us. We only did what he wanted us to do. We were nothing special. Maybe. But they served a most special Savior. They had a most special authority in their lives. And as far as being special, I tell their story because they were special to me. As far as the Lord, he sees them and a great many other such people, special people, unassuming people, regular people who, with Jesus as their authority, do things that are special. They don't want any applause. They don't do what they do to have their story told on the Lutheran Hour. They do what they do because even as they have received love from the Lord, so they share it with those around them. Dear friends, having Jesus as the authority in your life, knowing him as Savior, doesn't mean you will never have problems. Difficulties will come your way. But when you have Jesus as the authority in your life, you are able to do more, be more, care more, forgive more than you ever thought possible. If you're still in the darkness, if you are still without the Savior, these words might not make any sense. That's because as long as you remain in the darkness, you have no choice. It is only when you're in the light that you're able to see things differently. Today, the Lord is saying, is pleading, come into the light. Come to Christ. My colleagues at the Lutheran Hour can help you do that. For a great many years, they've been helping people who have heard the call of the Lord, who want to have Jesus as their authority. Call the number that will be given before this broadcast ends. Let Jesus be the authority in your life as he should be. A good many years ago, during a Massachusetts winter, a brother and sister were walking on the ice. He was 9, she was 11. They hit a thin patch and fell through. Kicking to the surface, they yelled for help. Summoned by their screams, a man came running, dived into the icy water, and tried to help them both. Seeing his difficulty, the 9-year-old boy shouted, "Never mind me, save Annette!" That's what happened. The man saved Annette. The boy died. I've often wondered, why did the boy call, "Never mind me, save Annette"? Was it a rational decision? Did he debate the matter? After weighing the pros and cons, did he conclude that he would rather see his sister saved than himself? There was not that kind of time. No, that boy, a Christian boy, did what he did because it was part of him. From home, from church, from parents or a teacher, he had learned to have Jesus as his authority. It's not normal to say, "Never mind me, save Annette," but it is possible when Jesus is the authority of your life. May God grant that Jesus be your authority before this day concludes. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.